Apparently a trade went down in the last 90 minutes, 2 hours, something like that. Fair to say we didn't see it coming, so we have a little bit to talk about regarding that. We will also talk about the games, and I've already done a show on this trade, but we will break it down. I'll give my thoughts. There might be some questions, and then we'll look at some injuries. There were some injuries tonight as well as some standout performances, so we will cover everything. This is the Saturday post-game show. Let's go balls deep.
I'm the type to get shit done. You the type to observe. March Madness on my speakers, but today's November 23rd. Got something loud in the blunt, yeah. I don't say what I want, yeah. Probably somewhere sunny getting tan. Foreign women in the sun, yeah.
That's all that I need. That's all that I need. That's all that I need. Got my brothers with me. Got my brothers with me. And my mama's healthy.
Welcome to the Balls Deep podcast, brought to you by Fantasy Basketball International. I'm Adam King. Find me on Blue Sky and Twitter at AdamKing91. Find us on Google Podcasts, Apple Podcasts, Spotify, YouTube, anywhere, everywhere you consume your fantasy basketball content. We are also proudly part of the Old Man Squad at Old Man Squad on Twitter. 9 games, which we will get to, but let's start with this trade. Now, this happened... I want to say, what was I doing for an hour, a bit over an hour ago, out of nowhere. I think someone dropped it into one of my group chats and basically had screenshot it and with a question mark. And of course, I went onto Twitter and had a look and saw that Shams had tweeted it. And okay, well, that we say if it comes from Shams, we believe it. But it was almost unbelievable. And so I think for a lot of us, myself, Dan, Josh, we all had to confirm this. We all had to do a bit of hunting and make sure that this wasn't a Shams account that had been hacked. But there were obviously follow-up tweets and then tweets from ESPN and tweets from Mark Stein and all sorts of people. So it is legitimate at this point. LeBron James will have a new teammate. Luka Doncic is on his way to the Los Angeles Lakers for Anthony Davis and Max Christie. And there was one first-round pick involved. That's all the Lakers had to give up to get Luka. So, yeah, there's going to be a lot of chatter about this over the next 24, 48 hours, could even be for the next week. I dare say this is the biggest trade that happens this trade deadline, and I think Dan and I were both of the opinion that this is potentially the biggest trade ever that we've ever seen, and certainly the most out-of-nowhere trade. We had no idea this was coming. We've been talking about the De'Aaron Fox trade, obviously, which in itself is a pretty big trade, but nothing compared to this one. It sounds as though LeBron, AD, Luka, none of them were across this. LeBron found out at a team dinner after the game. Does this mean LeBron is not on the outer, but is he going to leave? Like, there's a lot of things that could happen following this. This was instigated supposedly by Dallas. So they made the first move here. They approached multiple teams talking about salaries and things like that. They didn't let on too much, apparently. They went to the Lakers, offer, do you want Luka Doncic? And, well, of course, Rob Pelinka, you're going to say yes. In terms of long-term building blocks, all that sort of thing, they've basically locked up their franchise player for the next decade now. Anthony Davis, obviously a very good player, but a lot older. And I think harder to build around as well. So I would say the Lakers hit this one out of the park. It's in terms of the draft capital going back, that sort of thing, it is probably it appears as though it's a one-sided trade. We don't know what was going on. The fact that I know I'm not a specialist when it comes to salaries and contracts and things like that, but supposedly this impacts Luka's ability to be a max player or something, so he loses like $100 million. For the Mavericks to do that to him tells me that maybe they were just sick and tired of something. There was really no indication that anything too serious was going on. it's hard to believe this is because of injuries when you're bringing in Anthony Davis, who has been relatively healthy for the last 2 years to his credit, but definitely has his own injury history. So it was, is this to just to do with attitude or the fact that Luka had indicated that he didn't potentially see himself in a Mavericks uniform in a year or 2 years or 3 years? So they got ahead of this and got back anything they could. And Anthony Davis is a good anything. So let's have a look at the fallout of this trade, though. We will start with the – let me just bring up my depth charts here. Now, as I said, I have already done a show with Dan Bespris over on his network. So if you want to check out a show dedicated to the trade, we did about 30 minutes, I think 35 minutes. Josh also just did a trade show. That's why I was waiting just until he was done, because I can't compete with Josh, can I? Let's have a look at depth charts. All right. So if we start with Dallas, so we're getting Anthony Davis coming in Dallas. Now, I guess the question right out of the gate here is, will he play center? Because he has been very vocal over the last week saying that he does not want to play center. And, well, honestly, he's been saying that for his whole career. That's not to say he won't play center, but does he start at center, I think, is the question. Is this an indication that for this season they think Derek Lively is done? Because I was not under that impression. Maybe they are, because if they are bringing Anthony Davis in to start him at center, when Derek Lively was supposedly your franchise center, where does he fit? Where does Gafford fit? That's three starting centers squeezed into one role. So do they start Gafford and Anthony Davis? That on the surface would be the road they would probably take. But that's not necessarily a good fit, because Anthony Davis does not really have the ability to space the floor, and neither does Dan Gafford. So do they get in the way of each other? AD obviously has a fairly strong and consistent mid-range game, so he can space the floor to some degree. So that's the first question, I guess, is how does this impact Gafford? If Gafford continues to start, he takes a hit, as does Anthony Davis in terms of rebound numbers. I think Anthony Davis's assist numbers will probably go up a little bit here, because they don't really have anyone else to handle the ball, so they'll run the offense through him. So I think that's the first thing we need to determine is, does AD start at center or do they start him alongside Gafford? If that's the case, what happens to PJ Washington? Do they slide him down to the three or do they move him to the bench? I think they probably slide him down to the three if they go with Gafford and AD, which would mean, well, Kyrie's going to be the point guard. He doesn't get a bump. I just think the value that he's been putting up over the last month is now sustainable. We don't have to worry about Luka coming back. So I think Kyrie is going to be fantastic rest of season. Then it's that guard spot, or I guess the 2/3, depending on what they do, because they have Max Christie, they have Klay Thompson, they have Spencer Dinwiddie, they have Quentin Grimes, they have Jaden Hardy, and they have Dante Exum. So that's six players to squeeze into 1 to 2 spots, which doesn't work. They could move Klay to the two and just play him off Kyrie as their shooting guard with PJ at the three. If PJ stays at the four, does Klay stay at that small forward spot and they start Max Christie? There's a lot of questions here around what their backcourt looks like. In terms of value and stashability and hold and drop and that sort of thing, Kyrie, we hold. Max Christie, I probably am holding him, but I wouldn't be surprised if he actually takes a hit here, because he's the depth behind him or alongside him is a lot more talented now. He had, who did he have? Cam Reddish and Gabe Vincent, these guys. He's now got that list of names that I rattled off who are arguably all better than anyone on the Lakers. So he could go from a 32 minute per night player to mid-20s, low-20s. I think probably his ceiling is high, like 27 minutes, 28 minutes is probably his ceiling, which would make him very borderline. Klay Thompson, is this a way of managing him rest of season and just trying to keep him healthy for the playoffs? I think we probably hold him. I actually don't think there's anyone I'm dropping here other than maybe Spencer Dinwiddie, if you've been holding him. Quinton Grimes, we've probably moved on from him, so I don't think we need to do anything there. So I would just hold Gafford, Washington, Clay, Max Christie, and see how this plays out in two games or whenever Anthony Davis arrives in town, and Max Christie. So that's sort of where I see things on the Dallas side of the equation. On the Lakers, so no Anthony Davis. Luka LeBron is a curious pairing. I'm not sure how that's going to work. Austin Reeves is probably the odd man out there in terms of hands on the ball and assists upside. So he, I think, almost certainly takes a hit here. He's still very rosterable, but probably doesn't have that top 50, top 40 upside. He's more like a top 70, top 80 player now. LeBron will probably do a little bit less. It probably won't impact his overall value too much. I think he's still relatively solid. Luka, doesn't really matter. He'll be fine. So the question marks are, well, the center position is the big one. With no Anthony Davis, Jackson Hayes has been starting. I think it's almost certain that the Lakers will look to make a move here. Obviously, bringing Luka in is a long-term plan. This isn't necessarily, hey, we need to win now. But they have no center depth. They have centers, but they're not good. They have Jackson Hayes, they have Christian Coloco, and apparently, supposedly, they have Christian Wood. So, who is not really a center anyway? So I think they need to bring a center in here. Now, there are a few centers whose names have been floated around in trade talks. Clint Capella is one. I think he would be a decent fit. Mitch Robinson, potentially, very injury prone though. I don't necessarily think they need to bring in a floor spacing or offensive minded, unless they're just completely ignoring defense now. They could, like a Vooch or even a Valanciunas, these guys that don't play defense, that would be horrible if they were to bring in someone like that. So I think common sense would tell me that they would be looking for a rim runner, someone that can, play above the rim, protect the rim on the other end. No need to be able to play as a facilitator or anything like that. So I do think Mitchell Robinson is potentially an option. I do like Rob Williams as another option there. Again, injury history. Yusuf Nurkic is probably on the trade block. He's not necessarily a great fit. He isn't a rim protector, but he is a good rebounder. He's a big body. So he could be someone that they throw in there. I would have said someone like a Goga, but I'm not sure what Orlando are doing with their center rotation there at the moment. So there are options. There are centers out there that they could bring in. I don't think they're going to land someone like a Vooch now. I just don't know who they would move. They don't really have any draft picks left to move, and they don't have a lot of depth. Jared Vanderbilt could play center, but I just don't think he can play enough minutes at this point. So it's, it's obviously a pretty massive trade, and there's implications, but I actually, given the magnitude of the trade, I actually don't think the fantasy, the shifts in value are comparable in terms of the magnitude. So I don't think we're actually doing a lot in terms of fantasy at the moment. It's more of a real life situation that none of us saw coming. Now I do have Twitter open just in case. Shams is obviously getting a lot of people questioning this trade, because he has just tweeted out saying it's 1,000% real. He has appeared on TV talking about it, unless it's an AI version of Shams. Who knows in today's world? And look, following this, I mean, God, does LeBron move? I'm not going to say no now. It's a pretty, it's been a wild 90 minutes here. I sort of hijacked the computer from my son, who was playing Minecraft, whilst booking flights to Los Angeles for later in the year. Luckily, I finished watching the Royal Rumble, so that was good. That was all done and dusted before this happened. So I guess I'll do a quick summary, and then we will get into the games from today. Quick summary on the Dallas side. I would be only players I probably would consider dropping here at the moment. Spencer Dinwiddie. We're probably not holding Grimes anyway, so that's fine. So Dinwiddie, once Max Christie arrives, so you might get another game. This mock trade might not go through for a couple of days. So he would be the one I would hold, Max Christie, and just see what his role is going to look like. Klay Thompson probably doesn't change a lot. I mean, he hasn't been playing starters minutes anyway. So I think if he hovers around that 25 to 27 minute mark, he's probably a soft hold. PJ Washington takes a hit, but I still think he will be pretty clearly a 12-team guy. Kyrie probably gets a bump. Anthony Davis, maybe a slight bump, but should be fairly similar. Gafford / Lively are the other question marks there. Lively, you've probably just got him in your IR spot anyway, but Gafford I would be holding. I wouldn't just panic and go, okay, Anthony Davis is starting. Gafford's going to play 16 minutes as a backup. If that were to happen, he's probably a drop. But just given the fact that Anthony Davis has talked about wanting to play center, although I guess, as I said earlier, this trade was, well, maybe if Dallas were the instigators here, which we think they were, and they offered Luka and then Pelinka sort of said, okay, well, you can have Anthony Davis. AD didn't really have any say in this because he, along with LeBron and Luka, were caught by surprise here. So Dallas may not have sort of said, yes, we will take AD and yes, he can play center. There may just not have been they had those discussions yet. This might just be when he arrives in Dallas, we're going to talk to him about what his role is going to look like. He will probably say, I don't want to play center. That's not to say they will agree. So it's really a watch this space. Hold Gafford, see what happens. If he starts and plays 28 minutes like he has been playing, then I think we're fine. Low 20s, probably borderline. 18, 16, probably a drop. For the Lakers, Reeves, we hold, but he will take a hit, I think. And do remember that Luka is out, so we're probably not going to have Luka for a few games anyway. So Austin, look, you could theoretically, if managers in your league are just not glued in to what's happening in the NBA, you may be able to sell Austin Reeves here if you could move him for a top 40 or 50 player. If he can have, he was solid today. We'll talk about that later. He might be someone you could look to move in a trade. LeBron should stay about the same. Jackson Hayes, I'm just holding him until, well, if and when they acquire a better center than him. Luka will be fine. Rui, he probably just does what he's been doing. I think Rui is Rui at this point. Until Luka is back, we're probably going to get, Gabe Vincent, maybe Cam Reddish slots in there. Dorian Finney-Smith may play here over Rui once they're in with their usual lineup because he at least offers some defensive upside. So maybe Finney-Smith can carve out a really back-end role at some point. I wouldn't be adding him at this point, though. So that's probably where I stand, I think, on this trade. Hopefully that all makes sense. But let's get into some games. We've talked enough about the trade. First game of the night. Started a little bit early tonight. Orlando at Utah for the Magic. We had no KCP. We had no Jalen Suggs. Goga Badadze started 3-8, two blocks, only played 16 minutes. Now, I was watching the Royal Rumble, as I said, while these games were sort of on. And so I had them on, but it was only on my phone. And then I was watching replays, and obviously the condensed replays don't tell you all the information from the game. So I had to go digging a little bit, but Goga Badadze did suffer a leg injury in this game, which ultimately I think ended his night. They also lost. So there's another it's not a nail in their coffin, but man, they've been bad of late. So Vidadze, only 16 minutes. So again, it's not a great night for someone that's probably on the cusp anyway as a 12-team asset at the moment. I'd probably hold him because I don't think this is a reflection of what we're going to get moving forward. And again, Wendell Carter Jr. is not sort of coming after his minutes, actively putting up numbers or anything like that. He had 6 and 5 in his 24 minutes. So he is not good either. So I still do think Goga is their center here and that he will play 26 plus minutes. Once the world returns to normal, whenever that is, I think he will be okay. Anthony Black, one of the more frustrating streaming options going around at the moment, 4 points, 4 rebounds, 3 assists. The 32 minutes are encouraging enough. I do think Suggs is getting close, though, so no need to be holding on to him. Cole Anthony had 23 points off the bench. Very up and down. Both of them are worth a look when Suggs misses, but it's hard to know which one is going to be hot on any given night. Paolo just sucked in this one. Offensively, 4 of 19 from the field, couldn't hit a 3, 1 of 3 from the free throw line. This is the old Paolo. This is why people were somewhat down on him coming into the season because of his inefficiencies. He did have 6 rebounds, 6 assists, 2 steals. Oh, excuse me. 2 steals and a block. Too much talking. The other numbers here are fine. Just the offense was really bad. Okay. On to Utah. So a rare win for the Jazz. They don't like winning. So we're probably going to get everyone resting in the next game. John Collins was, I mean, all these guys, John Collins, Walker Kessler, Colin Sexton, they're all pretty good when they play. Jordan Clarkson, we just don't know when they're going to play. Isaiah Collier had 12 and 6 with a steal. He is a must-roster player, as is Colin Sexton, who had 22 and 8. Walker Kessler, 8, 15, steal and block. So he is a hold, but again, he could rest the next game. We just don't know. They did just acquire Mo Bamba. I've seen people talking about him as a stash or a streamer kind of a guy. I'm not sure that they keep him around. This could be a situation where they buy him out and he just signs with someone else, because I think Filipowski is the guy they want to develop here, not Mo Bamba. So I wouldn't go out and like sort of make Bamba a priority or anything here. I think it'll be Sensabaugh. I think it'll be Filipowski. Collier, those guys are the ones that are going to be getting minutes later in the season. Okay, Atlanta. And I will get to questions. I can see lots of questions there. We will get to those. Atlanta at Indiana for the Pacers. Reese Shea, another strong offensive game. Let's say that. He did very little else. But 17 points in 29 minutes. He's probably an add if you simply need points and threes. If that's top of your list, then he's okay, I think. Barlow started and did nothing. Jonre Hunter played minutes off the bench, but look, his value tonight was actually somewhat salvaged by 2 defensive stats and 8 rebounds because he was 4 points on 1 of 5 shooting. So a bad night for him. Their poor shooting continues. Trae Young had 34 and 17 with 2 steals, so a nice night for him. And Dyson Daniels, 23 points, 4 rebounds, 4 assists, 1 steal, 1 block. So good to see him giving us some more offensive production. Okongwu had 12 and 11. Still no Clint Capella, still no Bogdan Bogdanovic. So Larry Nance played 19 minutes as the backup center and had 4 and 5. So 19, 20 minutes is very borderline. I don't think you have to hold him, but you can stream him in. Veet Krejci, it might be time to move on. They just seem to be running with anyone but him at the moment. So I know he was playing pretty good minutes, but they were losing. So they've obviously gone, well, okay, we need to mix things up. And it hasn't helped. They're still losing. So they may go back to Veet Krejci. But the last couple of games have been pretty ordinary. 15 minutes here, 5 points, nothing else. He is good at picking up fouls. He had 4 in this one, 6 in one of the games earlier. So if you want to hold him for 1 or 2 more games, I think that's fine. I might, but I think I'm okay with moving on as well. For the Pacers, a few of these guys actually made it to the Royal Rumble tonight. They were on screen and we were watching it and going, hey, they just finished the game. So they obviously got out of there pretty quickly and headed over to the wrestling. Yeah, look, numbers across the board here are fairly serviceable. There's not really a lot to talk about here. Nembhard had 19-5 with 2 steals. He's very borderline. This is a favourable matchup when you play Atlanta. You know there's no defence coming at you. So other than Dyson Daniels, but yeah, beyond that, not really. Obi Toppin had 18-9 with a block. This is more of a matchup thing. I'm not running to add him. He still only played 15 minutes. TJ McConnell, assists and steals streamer, but 11 minutes here. That is not even close to being a must-roster player. Denver at Charlotte, lucky win, dare we say it, for the Nuggets, 107-104. As I check Twitter again, just to make sure. Yep, no, nothing there. That's all right. Okay, Nuggets. Christian Brown did move into the starting lineup, as we expected, with Russell Westbrook out. 24-11, 2 steals, so he's... strong run continues. All the starters here were fairly good, to be honest, except for Aaron Gordon. And this is Aaron Gordon. When they're healthy, he's the 4th or 5th option on offense. He's a good defender. It doesn't normally translate to fantasy value. So he's a hold, but the upside is very limited on him. We know that. Julian Strouther had 5 points in 24 minutes. Talked about him as a potential pickup tonight. The minutes are encouraging enough. So I think if you did add him and Westbrook, he's going to miss more time. Strouther will probably do more than this. So I'm okay holding him. For Charlotte, this is why I didn't like Vasilij Micic. Now, he did suffer an injury, I believe. Let me have a look. He did. Well, yes. I don't think he was actually ruled out. No, he was never officially ruled out, but he was doubtful to return with an ankle injury and obviously didn't return. So for Vasilij Micic, only 15 minutes, failed to score, and his highest category was turnovers. So, yeah, rough night for him. Hold him. I mean, he's starting. LaMelo's not coming back for a while, so I'm okay, unless he's going to miss time. If he's injured, I would probably have a look at KJ Simpson as a bit of a flyer. He had 8 points with 8 assists in his 27 minutes. He's not going to give you much other than assists, but Micic is much the same. So you could take a look at him. Nick Smith finally had a good game. I said on this morning's show that I was going to give him 1 more game because they were on a back-to-back and then see. I'll probably hold him now. He had 19 points. He had a steal. He had 5 threes. This is really best-case scenario, points and threes with maybe a steal. But that's okay. That's okay in some leagues. Miles Bridges, yep, we know he's going to do a lot with LaMelo out. Mark Williams returned. He had 20 and 15 with 3 blocks. So good to see him back. Just remember that he's going to miss time. So be prepared for that. Musa Diabate, if you forgot to drop him, he was actually pretty good in this one. They actually played him alongside Mark Williams for periods of the game. 12-7 with a steal and a block. Didn't hit a free throw, but that's Musa Diabate. But I don't think we need to be holding him. I think we just stream him in if and when Mark Williams misses any time. All right, Sacramento at Oklahoma City. Comfortable win for the Thunder here without Jalen Williams, 144-110. For the Kings, it was a... yeah, there was some vision of pregame stuff. And, I mean, you can read into these things all you want and interpret videos and clips and photos, but it's looking like they're sort of the opinion that Fox is done, going through the motions. It wasn't a very energetic performance from them tonight. The numbers from a fantasy perspective are fine. Malik Monk had 19-7 with three blocks randomly. Fox had 24-4 with a steal. Sabonis 16-7-5. Keegan Murray 14-5 with a block. And DeMar DeRozan had 17 points, 2 assists. So those numbers are all serviceable. Keon Ellis, 22 minutes, he had 2 steals and a block. He remains just a steals streamer. But if this Fox trade does go down, Ellis, we know that we're sort of stashing him where we can, just in case he is the beneficiary. I'm not guaranteed that will happen, but it might. So if you want to stash him, go ahead. For Oklahoma City, like I said, no Jalen Williams. We talked about who do we look to add. I said, probably go Isaiah Joe over Aaron Wiggins based on what we've seen recently. And, of course, Aaron Wiggins came out and scored 41 points to go with 14 rebounds, 6 three-pointers. So if you ignored me and streamed in Aaron Wiggins, well done. I'm absolutely not running to grab Aaron Wiggins. If Jalen Williams misses more time, they are listing this as a wrist sprain, which could mean that this is 3 games, 4 games, all-star break. Then maybe Wiggins is someone you want to look at. He's absolutely not going to do this every night. Lou Dort also had 20 points, so that tells you a lot about how much Sacramento cared in this one. I would prefer Dort over Wiggins. I would prefer Dort over Joe. Hartenstein had 16-15. Shea was fine. Cason Wallace left this game with an ankle, I want to say. Is that what I saw? Where is he? No, shoulder. So Cason Wallace left with a shoulder injury. If he misses time here, Yeah, I mean, look, you might say Alex Caruso, but he is also out with an ankle, I think, at the moment. It's one thing after another with him. So we're probably not looking at Caruso. It's probably Isaiah Joe. Usman Dieng played 25 minutes, but I'm not really interested in him. So it's probably just more of Dort. Both Wiggins and Joe would be worth a look. On to the next game. Was I speaking of embarrassment? I don't think I was, but I am now because Minnesota lost to Washington. Talked about the Wolves in the pregame, the fact that Conley and Edwards were both questionable and coming up against this Wizards team, they were potentially going to go, yep, we can run this team into the ground. We don't need Anthony Edwards on the court, and he was ruled out with his illness. That's not to say he wasn't sick because he probably was. But, to lose at home to Washington is, dare we say, the low point of the season for Minnesota in what has been a season that's had more than one low point. For the Wizards, Kyle Kuzma, 31 points, 13 of 24 from the field, 8 rebounds, not much else, but the 31 points are a welcome sight if you've been holding him. Valanciunas had 13 and 10 with a steal in 30 minutes. So minutes are great. If this is what we could guarantee from him on a nightly basis, he would be a must roster player, but we just can't at this point. Koulibaly, after some rough nights, he had a strong performance, 14-4-5, 2 steals, 2 blocks. I've just been holding him. I know it's been hard, but I think that we will. Look, I think his role is very safe. It's going to be inconsistent, but he's okay. Jordan Poole had 19 points. The steals have dried up, but the points are nice. It's good to get anything from anyone on this team, given what we've seen over the last week. Brogdon returned, thankfully only played 21 minutes, 3, 5, and 4, so we don't need to be adding him or Bob Carrington or Corey Kispert or anyone there on the bench. For the Wolves, without Anthony Edwards, Nikhil Alexander-Walker moved into the starting lineup. Julius Randle, we also got a bit of an update on him. We didn't get a specific timeline, but we got some wording to the effect of we expect to be without Julius Randle for the foreseeable future. So that, I think he's certainly done till the All-Star break. I would be fairly certain of that. And then he'll probably be reevaluated and we could be looking at March before he's back. We will see. Naz Reid started and didn't do anything. He's a hold, though. Only played 20 minutes here. I don't think he got... Oh, actually, no, he got injured, didn't he? He did, that's right. Finger sprain, yes. That's I remember reading that. They're running pretty thin here, aren't they? Gobert did what we thought he would. He played much better. He's not only going to get... Well, this was a favourable matchup against Balanchunas, but he is just going to have to play more. 16 and 16, 4 assists, 2 steals, 2 blocks. So good to see him putting up numbers again. Mike Conley is just going to have to do a little bit more as well. He had 16 and 5. Alexander Walker, probably a rosterable player. He played 41 minutes. That's a lot of minutes. Rob Dillingham, only 18 minutes. Probably not what we would have expected, but it at least puts him on the radar, I think. Even Joe Ingles, 10 points for Joe. That's like a month's worth of production in his 20 minutes. If Reed is out, I don't think Edwards is going to miss a lot of time here. Ingles can sort of play the four. He's not great, but I guess he can. I'm not adding him anywhere. Very deep leagues, maybe. He certainly doesn't have a lot of gas left in the tank, though, so I don't think we need to worry too much. Now we're speaking of embarrassing losses. Brooklyn 110, Houston 98. This was probably the worst Houston performance of the year. I think we're pretty safe in saying that. For the Brooklyn Nets, as expected, the production was all over the place, and knowing who to target, we've said it's put all of their names on a dartboard and just blindly throw a dart and see who you land on. Tonight it was Zaire Williams, 21 and 8, 2 blocks, 1 steal. Keon Johnson, 13, 9 and 5 with a block. D'Angelo Russell had 18 and 3 with 2 blocks. So they were probably, Russell is probably held in most leagues, to be fair. Dayron Sharpe had 13, 4 and 2 with a block in his 17 minutes. He remains one of the best stash guys going around. I think he will have a role at some point. Ben Simmons had 2 points, 5 rebounds, 4 assists and a block, 24 minutes. His numbers have been fine this year. I actually think you can move on from him. I don't think you need to be holding Ben Simmons. I think I'd even prefer like a Keon Johnson, Jalen Wilson, Zaire Williams. Even though are they better? Maybe they just are. I don't know. I'm probably being too nice to Ben Simmons there. But I think you can move on from him. As well. And for Houston, it's not pretty reading. Fred VanVleet suffered an ankle injury in this one. No indication yet as to how bad that injury might be. But with him out, we got 16 minutes of Reed Sheppard. So this is interesting. Reed Sheppard is sort of someone that I don't think we were really targeting him in drafts, but we were curious as to what his role was going to be, and basically it's been non-existent. He had 6 points, he had 2 steals, he had a block, he had 2 threes in 16 minutes. Aaron Holiday, who had been playing ahead of him in the rotation, only played 13 minutes, so his minutes did not increase. If VanVleet is out here, they're probably just going to play Amen Thompson at the point guard position, to be fair. Which would mean that, I guess what I'm saying is I don't think Reed Sheppard is going to start. I think they would move Amen Thompson down and bring Tari Eason in at the 4. So Eason will get a bump. He played 27 minutes here. He had 12 and 9 with 1 block. So make sure he is rostered. Steven Adams started over Alperen Sengun. He had 11 and 7. He's a really good streamer. 3 blocks and a steal as well. Don't forget about that. He's a really good streamer as long as Sengun is out. Sengun was questionable for this one, so could return soon. Cam Whitmore, who we thought might step up, did not. 4 points, 2 steals. He's not too bad as a steals streamer with some points upside, but 5 turnovers, he still, to some degree, looks like he doesn't care, and he probably doesn't. So I wouldn't be surprised if he's moved at the deadline here. That's probably what we're doing with Houston. This was also just a terrible game, so we don't want to read too much into games like this. Miami at San Antonio. Good win for the Heat. They'll take any win they can get at the moment. Bam had probably his best game of the year against a Spurs team minus Wemby. 30 and 12, 9 assists, 3 blocks, 2 steals. Highsmith did nothing. Khalil Ware, 6 and 12 with 2 blocks. The offense will be up and down, but the rebounds and the blocks are really nice. And the 34 minutes is a good, good sign of his long-term value, I suppose. Tyler Hero, not his best game, but when you get a win on Hero shooting 4 of 15, you take it. Duncan Robinson had 2 threes in his 27 minutes. Rozier actually turned in a nice performance here, 19-7-4. Jovic is still my priority here. I think he had 14-7-4 with 3 steals, 3 threes. So I would still rather him over Rozier, over Highsmith, and over Jaquez. Jaquez had 10-6 with a steal in this one. All right, I'll just have a drink. For the Spurs. So no Wemby. He was ruled out with an illness just before tip-off, which was a bummer if you had him in your lineups tonight. Charles Bassey started. Now, much like Dayron Sharpe, I think Charles Bassey has a really nice fantasy game. We saw it here, 9 and 15, 1 assist, 1 block. Obviously, I'd much rather Dayron Sharpe over Bassey because Sharpe's path to minutes is a lot clearer than Bassey. But the fact that Bassey is starting and playing these minutes when Wemby is out, it's a good sign. It means he's ahead of Zach Collins in the rotation, which he should be. And that Zach Collins is fine, but Bassey is certainly, I think, the preferred option and should be. Steph Castle, 10-6-6 with 2 steals. Only 23 minutes, just foul trouble here for him, so I wouldn't worry too much if you were holding him. Harrison Barnes cooled off a little bit, and this is the issue with him when he's not giving you 18 or 22 points a game. 12 points, 2 rebounds, 1 assist, 1 block. Devin Vassell, 18-3-1, didn't really step up. The shot was off here, didn't get any steals. The 18 points are fine, but yeah, with no Wemby there, you would probably be hoping for a little bit more. Paul had 12-7 with 3 steals. Sohan continues to be very, very bad. Huge buy-low opportunity at the moment. 2 points, 5 rebounds, and a steal. I'm fairly confident he will be better than this, but it doesn't make for pretty reading at the moment. And Keldon Johnson, who had 24 last night, we talked about him showcasing himself, I suppose. He had 19 points, so he is a good points streamer at the moment. All right, let's go to the next game. The Lakers, fresh off a convincing victory over the New York Knicks. They were of the opinion, obviously, that we don't need Anthony Davis anymore to win. I don't think that was the case, obviously. The timing was just very odd. So let's have a look at the Lakers, and let's start with Jackson Hayes, who is going to be a fairly popular fantasy target over the next, well, insert time frame here because we don't know when they are going to bring in a center or if they're going to bring in a center. Jackson Hayes had 4 points, 2 rebounds, 3 steals, 1 block. He is really just going to be rebounds and defensive stats. He only got 2 rebounds here. He'll be better than this. And the minutes were down a bit. Look, yeah, I think this is probably sort of his floor. I think if we want to look at the next week or 2 weeks. So I think he's probably someone we have to roster. Rui Hachimura had 21 points, a steal and a block. We probably roster him at the moment. Max Christie had himself a fairly nice game for his last in a Lakers uniform, 15-3-2 with a block. I know Dan was, Bespris was actually a little sad that Christie was leaving. And yeah, he feels like sort of one of these guys that the Lakers have brought through and developed. And now they've used him to acquire Luka, so that's a good thing for them. Austin Reeves had 27 points, 5 rebounds, 6 assists, 3 steals. So a really nice night for him. And like I said, if you can get sort of a week of strong value here until Luka is back, I would consider selling high on him. Finney Smith played 32 minutes off the bench, 15 points, 2 steals. I did talk about him potentially starting once they get their new lineup together because he does at least give them some defense on the wing. For the Knicks, OG Anunoby. So he left the game. It looked like it was a calf injury. They're reporting it as a foot sprain, I believe. Yes, a right foot sprain. So, again, no word on how serious this might be. I guess we always are concerned when it comes to the Knicks because of the amount of minutes that they play on a nightly basis. We just have to hold. He was having a fairly nice game here, 13 points. He had two blocks. He hit three threes, shooting the ball well. I guess we probably expect missed time. This was a non-contact kind of an injury. Like I said, he reached for the calf. So I would assume if this is a foot sprain and nothing to do with the calf, that this is an injury he had suffered maybe earlier in the game or in the play leading up to it, rather than suffered it as a sort of a non-contact movement-related injury. So we'll see. If he is out, we probably get Precious Achiuwa playing at the four. He played 29 minutes tonight, 15 rebounds to go with his 15 points. I think if Anunoby is out, Achiuwa is quietly one of the probably best pickups of the week. He's not diverse in terms of what he brings you, like OG can be, but he is a very good rebounder and can get defensive stats, much like OG can. Josh Hart, of course, played 38 minutes despite his knee injury, 26 points, 13 rebounds, 11 assists with two steals. Cat had 11 and 6 again. The shot has just fallen away a little bit since that finger injury. Still no word on whether that is a factor here, but I'd say it probably is. That's probably it for the Knicks, really. I think it's just really that OG news and that we go and add Achiuwa if OG is going to miss time. And the last game of the night, the surging Portland Trailblazers get another win. That's 7-8, I think. I just want to look at these standings now. Oh, look at them flying up the standings here. They're now only one. They're not that far behind Portland now, behind San Antonio now. Yeah, anyway, another good win. Let's start with Phoenix, though. Ryan Dunn, he sucked. We don't need to add him. Nick Richards, I thought he'd have a better match here. He did have 10 rebounds and a block, but only 1 point on 0 of 4 from the field. So, didn't take advantage there. Booker, Durant, they were both very good. Tyus Jones, presumably predictably cooled down a little bit, 9 points. He had a steal, only 2 assists. He is really just an assist guy at this point for me. Bradley Beal, also not his best night, 13 points. Just a rough night all around, really. Grayson Allen was bad. Mason Plumlee was bad. Royce O'Neal has been bad. He was sort of a stream guy we were looking at. I don't even think he's into that bucket anymore. Outside of Kevin Durant, Booker, Beal, they're probably your three must-roster players. Richards is probably must-roster as well. I don't think you need to be holding anyone else. For Portland, Jeremy Grant did play in this one, which meant, of course, you move your future point guard back to the bench and play him 24 minutes. Great work, Chauncey Billups. Look, Jeremy Grant was fine, 20 points, 3 assists, 2 blocks, but I hope to God they can move him. I don't know who wants him, but I really hope they can. I'm just not surely they get to the point where they just start Scoot Henderson regularly, but Portland fill me with zero confidence. Tamani Kamara had 18 and 10 with 4 steals. Must roster player DeAndre Ayton continues his strong form of late, which coincides with the fact that they're winning. I've talked about that. Denny Avdia was a little bit quiet, only 22 minutes here, but we hold him. Shaedon Sharpe also not as good as the last few games, but he did have 16 points with a steal. So, yeah, both he and Scoot, I think, are stash, or sort of active stashes who are clearly doing enough to be rostered, but we'll hopefully see a bump at some point in the not-too-distant future. Donovan Klingon, on the other hand, only 11 minutes. He had a block. He had 4 rebounds. He is not an active stash. He is a stash, but he's not doing enough at the moment to give you meaningful value. So I think you could move on from him if you want to. Okay, that's all the games. Now, we have got some questions. I'm just going to really bang through these quickly because I'm pretty sure my is ready, and I don't want to get in trouble. All right, Lone Dez, stream Christie. Should I hold him for now? Yes. Yes, I would be holding him. Kamara or stash Jalen Smith? I think I'd go Kamara. Yeah, I think I'm okay. I know Jalen Smith has really good per minute upside, but I just don't think he's that good. So I think he's probably a stash, but Kamara has shown us, and today was another good example. I think I'd go with Kamara. Any potential bigs that maybe move to the Lakers? Yeah, look, I think it's Capella, I think it's Rob Williams, I think it's Mitch Robinson, Nurkic. They're probably the four that come to mind. You've got Bassey there, maybe. Yeah, so we'll see. I think Rob Williams would be the obvious one. If you could take a pure speculative flyer, it would probably be him. What else have we got? How does this affect Luka and Davis's fantasy? Yeah, other than the schedule, I know that this does impact the schedule here. In terms of their individual fantasy rank and value and that sort of thing, I don't think we see a massive shift. They're both still going to be pretty clear first-round players. Like I said, I think Davis, probably his assist numbers could go up a little bit here because he will be – well, they'll play him more, I think, as a ball handler than they were in LA. So that's probably the biggest difference. Luka, I guess, theoretically, his assist numbers might come down playing alongside Luka and Austin Reeves. I'm not sure. It's two. I mean, Luka and LeBron are two pretty headstrong alphas, so it's going to be interesting to see how that dynamic works out. We do hope that Luka isn't injured so badly the Mavs want to offload him. There's been no word that there was a setback or anything like that. This was a weird trade, though. Okay, so one from Ryan here. With the playoffs finishing 23rd of March and AD now having a two-game championship, should I accept Luka for AD? Look, I mean, they're still quite different, so you would have to look at your team build, obviously, because one's a center slash forward and one is a point guard. So have a look at those, but if it makes sense, if it's purely comes down to schedule, then, yeah, look, you're looking at a two-game difference. Obviously, once we get to that point in the season, Luka will have four games, but it doesn't mean he plays four games, especially if this calf lingers. Maybe he plays three. Maybe he does play four. But, yeah, I think you could do that. Like I said, I don't think their value shifts to the point where we have to be panicking or anything like that. Steve says, what do I think about Claxton to the Lakers? He'd be another good option, I think, if the Nets are looking to move off him. A lot of the issue here is going to be what can the Lakers move in a trade, because they don't have a lot left. Their depth is not great. They don't have trade picks, a draft pick, sorry, not trade picks. There's questions there about how much they have to offer to get someone that on any sort of a sizable contract. I wouldn't be dropping, and this is Cookie Monster, isn't it? Yeah, I wouldn't be dropping Gafford. No, not yet. Who else have we got here? I am trying to go quick. Sorry about that, guys. Who to drop first, Tyus, Nick, or Goga? 10-team, 9-cat. Tyus, I think. So I'm just not putting up comments, really. Is Goga a drop with the leg injury? Look, if it's something significant, if it's beyond the All-Star break, probably. If it's just a day-to-day thing, I'd probably hold. Should have dropped Goga for Brown. He does have higher upside, I think, so I'm still okay with the process there. Amen did forget how to shoot tonight. Yeah, it was just a weird game for Houston. How would I rank the following trade for deadline stashes for rest of season value? Rob Williams, Klingon, Buzelis, Jalen Smith. I think I'd have... I'd probably have Klingon first. Rob Williams depends on the trade, so I'm not really going to include him. I think if he stays in Portland, I wouldn't. But if he is moved to the Lakers, for example, then I'd probably have him first. So I'll go Klingon, Bouzelis, Jalen Smith. Again, I'm not the highest on Jalen Smith. I do think he could have a role. We'll say I could be wrong. Would I rather have Sochan or Goga? Goga is not impressing you. I can tell you that. Who would I rather? That's a tough one. I mean, Goga's been so bad. So they've both been terrible. I'd probably go Sochan just only because I think he does a little bit more. Goga is really just blocks and rebounds. Sochan is a little bit more. So it's pretty close there. They're both pretty rank at the moment. Matt Carmody just woke up. Yeah, you would have just woken up. Yep, yeah, and you would have seen the trade and probably not believed it, like we all did. Is PJ Washington a drop? No, I'm not dropping PJ. No worries at all, Shining Knight. You know I like doing shows. I have a feeling Matty G might want to do a show tonight, so there could be another one coming. Just beware. Although I do have basketball blurbs to write at some point. How will the Lakers deal with the adversity of pairing a star next to LeBron who has never been towel whipped buck naked on the locker room floor? It's going to be a challenge for them, isn't it? And for LeBron, definitely. So this is just a bit of context for that question from Ryan earlier about the playoff schedule. So points league, playoffs finishing 23rd of March, 18 now having two-game championship week. Should I accept? Yeah, okay. In a points league, yes, in a points league I would do that, yeah. All right, I'm getting out of here before the door gets banged down. I will be back tomorrow with a pre-game show. Oh, actually, is there an early game? I always forget there's early games on a Sunday. Let's have a look. Oh, 7 a.m. Okay, so we've only got five games tomorrow. 7 a.m. my time is the first game. So, yes, I will be able to squeeze in a show before that. So there will be a pre-game show. Remember to go and find the trade deadline show, which Dan and I will be doing. If it's anything like today's show, it's going to be pretty wild. So it should be fun. So go and pre-like that. I think he's trying to get up to 800 now, so that would be great if we could get to that number. But that'll do for today. Time for me to get out of here. Thank you, everyone, for tuning in, listening. Please download and do everything. I'm Adam King. This has been the Balls Deep post-game show. Until next time, gotcha.
You just listened to another episode from the Fantasy Basketball International Podcast Network. Thanks for joining us. And for more information about joining our community, please check out our website at fbibasketball.com.